John le Carré's last novel, The Russia House, which is now also a movie, was called the first spy novel in the Age of Glasnost. In his new novel, The Secret Pilgrim, le Carré explores the spiritual questions an ex-spy might face. Book critic John Leonard has a review.
What will the spies do now that the Cold War is over? George Smiley, looking into his balloon glass for brandy and wisdom, tells a graduating class of eager beavers, "It's not only our minds we're going to have to reconstruct either. It's the overmighty modern state we've built for ourselves as a bastion against something that isn't there anymore. We've given up far too many freedoms in order to be free. Now we've got to take them back." Just how a brand new bunch of spies is going to do this, Smiley doesn't say. He has spent the evening with them at the invitation of their teacher, his old friend and former pupil, Ned, who was put out to pasture by the circus after the disaster described in John le Carré's previous novel, The Russia House. Ned listens to Smiley, but he dreams of himself and the decades he's devoted to the service of his country in London, Warsaw, Hamburg, Beersheba, and Bangkok. Ned's flashbacks at first seem merely anecdotal, an amateur mistake that blows a network, a mistaken identity that ruins a life, loneliness and madness, love gone wrong. But as Ned sinks deeper through the geologic layers of his deceptions, a spy on himself in the house of his memory, the stories get longer and darker. Instead of rock, he finds jungle rot, quicksand, and vacuum. Who was the enemy who had cost him so many friends and so much of his life, overt and covert? A civil servant Ned investigates, under suspicion because he used to go to Covent Garden with a Soviet spy, tells him this, "I lived the wrong life, that's all. You don't know till it's too late, though, do you? You think you're one person, you turn out to be another. Same as opera." Later on, the evil empire is voted out of power in Eastern Europe by its own citizens, on its own mean streets. But new enemies turn up in England itself. A Thatcherite arms merchant, Sir Anthony Joyston Bradshaw, refuses Ned's request to stop destabilizing the Middle East. Sir Anthony boasts of the cellars of his country house, where there are rusty iron rings that used to hold the original owner's slaves. "Think there aren't any slaves today?" Sir Anthony demands of Ned. "Think capital doesn't depend on slaves? Jesus Christ, what kind of shop do you run?" What kind indeed? Whatever became of Ned's passion and faith? A renegade agent, fresh from torture in Cambodia, tells him this, "Once you have embarked upon the impossible concept of God, you will know that real love permits no rejection. Perhaps that is something only a sinner can properly understand. Only a sinner knows the scale of God's forgiveness." Ned is entitled to wonder whether he's in a novel by John le Carré or Graham Greene, not to mention Joseph Conrad, who is the writer le Carré would really like to be. If all spies are sinners, who is God? For all its chat about opera, The Secret Pilgrim is really an oratorio. That is, the text on which the chorus and the orchestra remark has a religious theme. For all that we meet again the old rogues' gallery of double agents, watchers, emigres, and moles, the luckless Hungarian Joes and the crazy Oxford Dons, the Esterhazes and the cool Bill Haydens, Ned's is a pilgrim's progress, past all dragons, fighting off what Smiley calls the angels and whores of ideology, towards some lost faith. What we have is le Carré's best novel since The Honorable Schoolboy, and this time the reluctant hero doesn't die from his ambivalence.
John Leonard is media critic for CBS Sunday Morning. He reviewed The Secret Pilgrim by John le Carré.